Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
This morning we're moving into the season of summer. And summer is a time where people love to get together. The days are longer, the weather is warmer, you can sit by a campfire and just visit for a little bit longer. Most often, we simply don't want summer to end, do we? We just love those long days of summer. And unfortunately, from what I'm told, summer is officially behind us, and we're entering into rainy season, which is going to be a brand new thing for all of us. But needless to say, my friends back in Calgary are already getting snow, so I'm quite okay with rain. But summer is a time for people to kick back and relax. And the title of my sermon this morning is, What Party Are You Going To? Summer is a time when a lot of parties will take place. We'll have people over for a barbecue. We'll have dinner on the patio. We'll sit and cook hot dog on a stick. Who doesn't enjoy like a hot dog over a fire? It's like the best thing ever. But a few years ago, I was involved in young adults ministry. And I loved working with them and hearing about their dreams, their goals, what their aspirations were for life. But the one thing that I personally did not like doing was planning an event for them. It was painful. You would create an event, and you would ask them to respond, and you wouldn't hear anything. I would go onto Facebook, and I'd create this event, and there's three options: yes, no, and maybe. And what do you think a majority of them selected? Maybe. What is this maybe business? It's either you're coming or you're not, one or the other. But when I finally asked a young adult, I said, why is it that you only ever select maybe? They were very upfront and honest with me. And they said, well, we're simply waiting to see if we get a better offer. I was shocked. I was like, a better offer? There's no better offer than me. Like, come on. So then I started to think, well, maybe this is just this one particular individual. But no, as I asked around, this was a common theme amongst all of them. And in my head, I immediately, when they would say that, I wanted to rescind the offer and say, forget it. Don't show up at my house. I'm having a party, but you're no longer invited. I'm going to remove you from the guest list. But I couldn't exactly do that. But I learned a new term this week, and my children constantly advise me of things that I can say and things that I can't say and words that I used, you know, when I was younger that, oh, Dad, you can't say that anymore. You know, things like that. And this past week, Pastor Joel taught me a new one. Who here knows what FOMO is? Oh, there's a few of you. Well, here's your lesson for this morning. If you have FOMO come across on a text message, it means a fear of missing out. FOMO, a fear of missing out. And that's how a lot of people live their lives. But who here likes to go to a good party? I think most of us, if we would actually hold up our hands, nobody wants to go to a boring party. But I've been at home at times, and I've been sitting, and I've, you know, open up Facebook, and I see all of these parties, and I see pictures of things that are going on. I say, oh, man, I wish that I could do that. And then I realize, oh, no, it's all my family in Newfoundland. It's a little bit difficult to get back to the island right now. But I look at the fun that people are having. And so this past week, I did a little survey. I sent it out to a group of friends of mine, and I just simply asked the question, if you were invited to a party, what would constitute as a party for you? Meaning, when you get home at the end of the night, what words would you use to describe the party? What things do you see? What did you experience? There were three components that came shining through. First, laughter, food, and music. Some went so far as to say, if I wake up the next morning and my stomach is sore from laughing, that is the sign of a good party. When was the last time that you had that full-on belly laugh type of a laughter? Have you had that recently? I think we all need to have that good belly laughter type thing. Can you imagine If here at CPC, if you came in and we had our core values listed on the wall or something, and you were to see under there a core value being fun and laughter, what would you think of that? Pardon? I think that would be a good thing. Shouldn't we be able to have fun when we come to church? I think so. I like to laugh. Laughter, according to Scripture, is a good medicine. But when you think of a picture, or when you think of a party, what are you looking for, or what is it that you picture? Everyone's definition of a good party will be different. What may sound like fun to one person will sound like complete torture to another person. And this is where I'm going to pick on one of my daughters. So we were chatting one week, and she says, yeah, I'm going to a party this weekend. I said, where are you going? She said, well, we're going over to Kendall's house. And I said, what are you guys going to be doing? She says, well, we're going to get some snacks, and we're going to have a Star Wars marathon. That's a party? To me, that sounds like pure torture. Like, yeah, she was so excited about going to this party, and they were going to watch as many Star Wars episodes as they could. And I thought, she's dead serious. This is a party. But what's my definition of a party? For me, it's going to be getting together with people that like to have fun. There's going to be a lot of laughing. For sure, there will be lots of food. And I'm not talking fancy food. I'm talking that high-fat, cheat food type of food. You know, you're going to have wings. You're going to have nachos. And there's going to be chips. And if you know me, there's going to be lots of chips because I've yet to meet a chip that I do not like. You can take the chocolate, just give me the chips, and I will devour practically every bowl that's there. Oh, and on top of that, for me personally, now don't judge me on this, if there's 80s music going in the background, that's an all-out party for me. It can be rock, it can be pop, it can be ballads of the 80s, but if 80s music is playing in the background, I absolutely love it. I showed somebody in the church recently my playlist when I get into the car to drive, and they just howled with laughter of the music that I have on Chad's playlist. Nobody else wants to listen to it, but when I'm in the car by myself, man, I sound so good, and I can sing at the top of my lungs. But coming up on October 26th and 27th, there's going to be a big party taking place at the Verge household. And this party will only have 4 people attending it. It's the annual Christmas decorating party in our house. And we have this party every single year. And yes, you heard right, October 26th and 27th. If you look in our calendar, it is there and it is in place. It's a big event. It lasts for about 3 days. And it's something that we look forward to every single year. Mainly, Hallie and I look forward to this every single year. I keep trying to convince my wife, you know, that maybe what we'll do is we'll have everything ready, and then when the children show up at our doors to trick-or-treat, we should dress up as Mr. and Mrs. Claus 1 year and hand out candy canes. I can't quite get her on board with that, but, you know. But there's going to be food, there's going to be laughter, it's an all-out party. And over the years, we have allowed other people to come into this party, primarily my mom. But every person that comes to this party, they know that we, the 4 of us, have our place. So, for example, myself and Kelsey, we take the time and we put together all of the trees. Then we bring the trees into the house, and Hallie and I will start to decorate the trees. And then Kyla assumes her position on her chair, and as we're putting decorations on, she's like, nope, nope, over, over, up, yeah, right there. And that's pretty much what she does for about 2 to 3 days. So she just sits there and she just guides where the decorations should go. But what about you? What type of a party do you attend? Are you with like-minded people? What kind of a host do you consider yourself to be? Do you all have a common interest? And are you all working towards the same goal? So let's have a little fun here. If you were invited to the Star Wars marathon party, how many people here would actually want to go to that? There's more of you than I thought. Noted. If you were invited to the Verge Christmas decorating party, how many would want to come to that? See, we win. Kelsey, we win. Yeah. Because they know we'd have a lot more fun. There'd be a lot more laughing. But we all have our own definition of the type of party that we would want to attend. So this morning we're going to take a look at a few different parties that we found that Paul encountered in the book of Corinthians. Now each of these parties had a specific theme. They each even had a specific type of a host. So Paul arrives in Corinth and he discovers that there are groups of people gathering, and they've all gathered with a similar cause and purpose. And I'm sure that Paul quickly realizes that the maturity level in each of these parties is quite different. Have you ever attended such a party where you show up and you have this expectation of what it's going to look like, only to discover that this party or your definition of a party and the host definition is quite different? The entertainment level is different. The drama in the atmosphere is quite different. The food consumed is different. Everything about this party is different. But we all have things that we look for when we're attending a party. For Paul, it was no different. In Corinth, you had four different parties that were meeting and hanging out. And our passage this morning is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But before we get there, I want to give you a little heads up about what he encountered when he first arrives in Corinth. So in chapter 1, we read that Paul has just arrived at Corinth and he's hearing that quarreling is taking place in the church. The people are obviously not of like mind. There's some judgments that are being cast and there's division going on in the church. So Paul hears of these four different camps. And the first one is this. He hears of the Paul party. So you have the Paul party. And who are they? These are the original chartered members of the church. They came and started the church when Noah came off the ark. And what is their problem? They're very traditional. What is their motto? Well, things sure aren't like they used to be around here. So that's the Paul party. The second party that he encounters is the Apollos party. And who are they? These are the groupies of the gifted. They are following after Pastor Apollos. And what seems to be their problem? They're so wrapped up and consumed with the various problems and the different people that are coming around. So what is their motto? Things sure could be a lot different around here. Maybe it's time for us to jazz things up just a little bit. The third party is the Cephas party. Who are these people? In the Cephas party, you have the converted Jews. And what seems to be their problem? There's a lot of moralism. The faith taught to them has been turned into a set of rules. Their faith has been turned into external practices, such as dietary laws, circumcision, Sabbath. And what's their motto? Things are not going the way that they should be around here. They figure that they've got everything figured out. And finally, you have the Christ party. They've acknowledged no human or fleshly leader. They claim to have a unique spiritual knowledge. And they claim to have the sole way to salvation. So you have the Paul party, the Apollos party, the Cephas party, and the Christ party. Four different types of parties. Now, leading up to the passage that we're about to dive into, you have Paul talking with them. And he's recognizing that there's a lot of stuff going on. There appears to be different camps of people. And Paul is trying to help them to understand that we need to ensure that we're all teaching and believing the same thing, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified for all of us. Jesus came as a baby in a manger to be the Savior of the world. Do we all in this place agree on that this morning? Do you believe that that's the gospel message? Amen. Well, at least we are all in the same party. But in a lot of churches and in a lot of societies, there isn't a lot of difference today with what was going on in the church in Corinth. We have several different camps of people. We have a variety of denominations. We have people that are in those denominations in difference to the people that are sitting next to them. You may have somebody sitting in the pew next to you that believes something completely different than you. We will have people who have their favorite TV evangelists. We'll have people who, I will only listen to this worship leader. No matter where you go, you're going to be faced with opposition regarding whomever it is that you follow. So there's one practice that I have had to adopt, and that is knowing that I need to look at things from the beginning to the end. And what do I mean by that? Is that I have been sent YouTube links in the past, and it says, "Pastor, can you believe that this person is preaching this? This is such heresy." But here's the thing. In our age of Photoshop and being able to manipulate videos, sometimes it's hard to know which source is actually accurate. I've had many videos sent to me of animals who appear lifelike and speak. So I'm thinking that if you can send me a video of a little groundhog who stands up and goes, "Alan, Alan, Alan," then you can take a YouTube video of a TV evangelist and completely manipulate it to make it sound like he's saying something completely opposite. Do you believe that? Thank you. That doesn't mean that you fill my inbox with animals talking. So over the years, I've attended conferences of individuals that I have been told, "Oh, this person preaches absolute heresy." And when I've been at these conferences or I've attended their church services, I have walked away and said, "Wow, that person has some solid teaching. I really appreciated what they had to say." When we take the time to listen to a message in its entirety, when we take the time to read the scripture in its entirety, in the context, it will have a difference in the way that you look at things. I have had people attempt to take John 3:16, which talks about, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the gospel message. But I have had people say, "For God so loved the world that he gave." See, God gave, you should give. Now let's speak on tithing. That passage has nothing to do with tithing. It's the gospel. So we need to look at things in context and understand what it is that is being said. Those weren't in my notes. I got a little passionate there. But I'm not going to apologize. So no matter who we listen to, it is important that we take the time to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. Even in what I share, it's important that you take what I preach and what I share on a Sunday morning and line it up with the Word of God. We are to be like the Bereans who took what Paul was preaching and went home and lined it up with Scripture to make sure that he was in accordance with what God was saying. So as we just learned here in Corinth, there are four different passages or different parties. So now we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So turning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start reading at verse 1. And it starts off by saying this, "But I, brothers, so just take note here, Paul is making a point of addressing to them to signify that we are all a part of the family here. This is a safe place. Please note that this does not exclude the sisters. If you recall from last weekend, if I can be called the bride of Christ, then you can be considered the brothers. Amen? Amen? If you look in some translations, it will say brothers and sisters. "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh and infants in Christ." Paul is aware of who it is that he's talking to here. He realizes that he can't come in too pushy or to speak with too much eloquence. Is he frustrated? I believe that he is. But he's telling them that they're acting like infants. He's not even saying you're acting like children. He's saying you're acting like infants. Somebody who doesn't even know what's going on. Continuing on. "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" The people he is addressing are very worldly. They are more focused on their fleshly desires instead of the things of God. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when I shared. Paul is unable to even look at them and say, look at these people who are following Christ. He can't. He says, you're following human desires. There's usually three types of people. The first is the natural person. For the natural person, the cross does not exist in their life. They do not have a relationship with Christ, and their ego is the one that's on the throne. The second, we have the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian has Christ in their heart, but their own ego is still on the throne. And finally, it's the spiritual Christian. With the spiritual Christian, the cross is the center of their life, and their ego has been dethroned, and they realize that it's only Jesus that can be on the throne. If I try and put myself up there, I'm not following the ways of Christ. So he goes on, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. It really is that simple. What makes all of this worth doing? God. We do this because we serve God. We are God's field, working in his field. It's a very simple story. We have Paul and we have Apollos. Both of these men have been called by God. They are no different than any person that's in this place this morning. Some of you are Paul's, some of you are Apollos. All of us have been called to do the work. Are you moving forward in what God has asked you to do? Remember, transitions move us forward. So we've done our spring cleaning. We've gotten into the fields and we've planted the seeds. Now it's summertime. Summer is the time to add fertilizer. Time to pluck the weeds. Time to water the ground. More importantly, summer is the time where we're able to kick back and relax a little bit and enjoy what God has been doing and reflect on that. But please don't interpret this or misinterpret it as being that we have this full-on stop. There is still a work to be done. However, the demands are less. When we stay on top of things, we're able to enter into a bit of a maintenance mode. The work isn't as intense. We get a little bit more time to chill and to relax and to cook a hot dog on a stick. The work isn't intense, but how busy do you make your resting time? Sometimes we want to be at every single event because we have this FOMO. We have this fear of missing out. What happens then? It creates a very busy schedule. And then you don't have time to do the things that God is asking you to do. Then when you show up at a party and someone says, how was your week? All you can say is, oh, so busy. So busy. And then you go into your list. I had church on Sunday. I had Bible study on Monday. I was cooking for the youth on Wednesday. I had small group on Thursday. I had a stewardship meeting on Saturday. And now I'm here at this party. I'm so exhausted. Is that the kind of people that you want showing up at your party? I want people who's going to show up and have fun and be able to laugh and have a good time. Not somebody who's going to say, well, I've got a spare room in here. Do you need to go and have a nap? Do you need a couch so you can just put up your feet? We tend to have a FOMO view, a fear of missing out. I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I believe it bears repeating. It is important to serve. Just because the church doors are open does not mean that you have to be here. Do what it is that God has called you to do. You don't have to be at every single event. If you're so exhausted, then you may need to slow down and listen to what God is asking you to do. It's important to serve, and we should all be serving. But think about this. The mother who has to do everything in the house is going to miss out. When the husband and children step up and help out, it provides opportunity for everybody to sit back and relax and enjoy the long evening. But when mom is having to cook and clean and plan and shop and do everything, when she finally gets to sit down, all she wants to do is sleep. She can't think about partying. She comes out and sits by the fire. She puts her head on your shoulder, and within seconds, she's snoring. The same is true in church. If we have one or two people doing everything, eventually we get exhausted, and we start to look for a new church so that I can go and take a break. I have heard that over the years. I've had people who have shown up at church, and they'll say, "Oh, I'm coming over. I normally attend this church." Like, okay, well, we're happy to have you. I just need to come here. I just need to be able to take a break. I just need to sit back and not have to do anything. I don't want the people in our church, I don't want to hear from Northgate or Courtney Baptist that half the church is over there needing a break. I need to be able to shepherd and protect the flock here and make sure that we're all pitching in and doing the work that God has called us to do. When we all chip in, it makes things easier. Sometimes we need to cut things out so that we can truly enjoy the things that matter. Now, let me give you an example, and this is not a manipulation in any form. But how many of you here enjoy having a cup of coffee when you come into the church in the morning? You like being able to go back there and grab a cup of coffee or grab a cup of tea or a hot chocolate or something? I know that many of you do. Why? Because when I come out at the end of the service and I go and I pull the spout to get a cup of coffee, the pot is empty. So there's about 100 people in here that really enjoy having a cup of coffee. So I know that many of you do. However, this is something that we may have to consider removing from our service. Why? We don't have the manpower to keep up with these things. The person that sets it up and cleans it up is already involved in so many other areas. And to protect this person and to make sure that they don't come to me and say, "Chad, I'm going to have to go over to this church and get a break," I may have to say, "You know what? The coffee's not that important. The tea is not that important. If you can't keep up, if you can't do it, then we need to remove that if we can't have other people who are going to step up and do this." This is the same in every area of our church. We need people serving in children's ministry, as ushers, as greeters, as sound, on the worship team. It takes a lot, but if everybody pitches in, it makes the task that much easier. "Oh, but Pastor Chad, I've done my time. I've served my time. I was in Sunday school, and now my kids are grown, and I'm just going to sit back and relax." Can I remind you of Sarah, the 90-year-old who had to have a baby? "He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion." When is completion? The day of Christ Jesus. He hasn't come yet. There's no such thing as retirement. We all need to be pitching in and helping out. Do you believe that? Wow. Do you believe it? Do you think we can do something about it? I'm not convinced. But I bet you if you show up next Sunday and there's no coffee ready, I will hear about it then. But everything that we do here in our church is about planting and watering. Children have seeds planted in their lives at home by their parents. Then they come to church, and the children and the youth workers, they add water to those seeds. Instrumentalists have a seed of music planted in their heart, and they learn an instrument. They get involved in worship, And Pastor Joel provides watering to those seeds. He provides opportunity for them to grow so that they can grow in Christ. Every ministry in our church involves planting and watering. As we serve, God causes us to grow. Here in this season of summer, it's important that we remind ourselves to slow down. Take time to breathe. Just breathe. Go to the party and have fun. Come to church, and it should be a place of fun and laughter and connecting with other people. Yes, we're all called to serve, but Jesus did not ask us to kill ourselves in serving. If everyone served in an area that they're passionate about, we would be seeing so much growth. This is one of the things that when I talk with individuals, I ask them, what is it that they're passionate about? What are your strengths? Why do I want to know their strengths? Because I want to see them operating in their strengths. Because if I say, well, what is your area of weakness? Okay, well, we need to develop that. No, because what happens is that a majority of their time is spent developing their weakness. If they're operating in their strength and doing what comes naturally, they get excited about that. They love doing it. And when they step up to serve, this is not work. This is something that I love to do. This is something that I'm naturally gifted to do. And I want to use it for God. Just like for me, if Kyla were to say, we have 100 people coming to our house for dinner next week, piece of cake. If she said, the car needs an oil change, call a mechanic. Because that's not my gift. Give me 100 people to feed, I can do that with my eyes closed. But don't ask me to touch anything on a car. I have to put my front license plate on. I can't even figure out how to do that. Isn't that sad? But if you want to be fed, come and talk to me. From the growth, more seeds will be planted. God has called us to go into the world. Jerusalem is our Comox Valley. Judea is the province of British Columbia. Samaria is the country of Canada. The ends of the world is every other place outside of that. First and foremost, he has called us to go into Jerusalem. Go into the Comox Valley. What are we doing here in our community to reach out to people? How are we serving here? Last week, Lloyd came into the church and he shared a message. And I believe that God used him to plant seeds in our hearts. But Lloyd's not here today. Does that mean that those seeds are of no use? Absolutely not. Now, it's up to me. It's up to you. Small group leader, youth worker, children's worker, we are all called to water those seeds. What type of a party are you hosting? What seeds get planted at those parties? What type of fertilizer is being spread when you have a party? My hope is that when I come to your party, there's going to be lots of laughter, lots of fun, and lots of chips. Next week, we're going to look at how we can plan this party that God is calling us to start. And we're going to look at a variety of different ways. But this morning, I'm going to invite every single person in this place to please stand to your feet. Hold out your hands. God, these are your hands. These are your tools that you have given to me. Father, help me to see how I can use these for your kingdom. What seeds are you asking me to plant? What seeds are you asking me to water? What party am I attending this morning? Am I attending the party, God, that you have created? where we all work together, where we all serve one another, where we have fun and we laugh in the midst of it all. God, I believe that you have been speaking to every single heart here this morning, and you have been helping them to see areas in which they are able to serve. God, I pray that they would not focus on, well, I'm no good in this and I'm no good in this. Father, that we would focus on the area that you have strengthened us, the area that would be that comes so natural for us. Whether it's serving, whether it's saying hello, whether it's preparing coffee, whether it's working with children, whether it's administration. Father, we are all gifted in specific areas. And we all have spiritual gifts to be used by you. So, Father, over these coming days, I pray that you would continue to open up our hearts and open up our ears to hear from you. And not just to hear, but then to respond and to put it into work. And to do and to go where it is that you are calling us to go. We thank you for how you have been using us. And we're thankful that you are not finished with us yet. He who began a good work in us will carry it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We thank you for this. We give you the praise. And Father, now I pray that your blessing would be upon every single person in this place, that your anointing would be poured out, that you would minister to each person, that your face would continue to shine upon them, and that they would know that you are leading them, and that they would walk in your direction. And those items that we brought and laid down at your feet, as we leave here today, we would not pick them up and take them with us, but we would leave them here at the foot of the cross and walk out excited for how it is that you're going to use each and every one of us. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.